Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. It's time for our monthly look at The Healing Muse, the Journal of Literary and Visual Arts produced by Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities. Dr. Deirdre Nealon, editor of The Healing Muse, joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning, Dr. Nealon.
Good morning, Tricia.
And welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, we've been talking about this new edition of The Healing Muse for a few months now, so I guess it's not quite so new as it used to be. But let's remind some of our listeners of what it is and why it exists. And those who are more familiar might want to go get their own copies.
Yes, if you've been smart enough to buy an issue, we're going to be on pages 28 and 29 today.
Oh, that's good.
This is Upstate's Literary and Visual Arts Journal, and it is a journal that encompasses all aspects of medicine and healing.
You know, I have to ask, is this something that most university hospitals and university academic medical centers, let's call them, is this something that they all do, or is this unique to Upstate?
I would say that we have been unique. There is a push recently to have more of this at medical universities.
There is, and I would think so, because we are beginning to understand that connection between the brain and the physical body and how our thinking, our thought patterns can help us.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, we have two poems to talk about this morning. They're both kind of, if I had to describe them, I'd say they're about being there.
Yes.
You know, they're about being there, maybe caregiving, but maybe not even caregiving, just kind of being there to hold someone's hand. The first one's called Memory. Can you tell us about the author?
Yes, Linda Loomis is, excuse me, a local person. She's at SUNY Oswego as a professor.
Uh-huh.
And she also, I think, writes for the Post Standard now, their music column.
Oh, she does.
Yes.
Excellent.
So she's a Renaissance woman and a wonderful poet. And I chose this poem because it doesn't seem to be exactly about healing.
But It doesn't. But it does when you start to think about it. So, will you read it for us?
Yes, it's called Memory. At my mother's bedside, I caress pebble-skinned fruit. Consider the odds of tempting her with something juicy, cold, and tart. My thumbnail pierces the zest, pushes deeper at stem end to membrane. There is art in never going too far. At the release of pungent scent, she turns, watches as bits of thick rind accumulate on the tray. With fingers curved and thumbs at center, I separate the first bright crescent. She speaks with unexpected force. I used to peel oranges for you. Memory is not strong enough to name the sudden rush of wood smoke, the cold enamel-top table, the clatter of morning, or those strong fingers urging oranges from their skins.
It almost seems like the title to this could be Oranges.
Sure.
But if Oranges was the title, it would kind of give away what the poem is really about before you ever got there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
It strikes me, too, that she doesn't really need to use the word oranges because she gives us such a thorough description.
Sensual. You can really smell and taste and feel just how it is when you're peeling the rind.
Absolutely. But that goes back to the real title, which is Memory, because
yes,
if you don't have a memory of an orange, it wouldn't strike you the same way.
Well, that's true too. Yeah,
and you know, if you think about an orange, we all have that exact same reaction. I mean, is there anybody who doesn't like oranges?
I'm sure there's probably somebody out there saying, yes, I
yeah,
don't like oranges,
I don't
but
like
I know
oranges.
It to
me. Yes, exactly right. Now, I was confused, though, and I'm going to ask you, the expert, the editor, to explain something to me. In the last stanza, she says, memory is not strong enough to name the sudden rush of wood smoke, the cold enamel tabletop, the clatter of morning, or those strong fingers using oranges from their skins. Can you give us a better explanation of what she's talking about there?
It seems to me in this poem, I'm reminded of Proust and the remembrance of things past, that this idea that we all have memories and the triggering of that memory can push you back in the past to a moment that's so clear to you, it's almost scary. And in this one, the speaker in the poem is taking care of her mother and peeling an orange. And we don't know what's happened to the mother or whatever, but the memory of seeing the orange being peeled makes the mother suddenly speak, as the daughter says, with unexpected force. And the mother is remembering when she was young and used to peel oranges for her child. And that sentence triggers the last beautiful stanza that you just read, where the daughter remembers what it was like those mornings, the clatter of breakfast,
uh-huh,
and her mother's strong fingers. And I think, you know, the inference is the mother is no longer strong, but still memory unites them.
And it also strikes me then as if we're going from a collective memory, all of us knowing what oranges
yes,
are,
yes,
to
nice.
All of a sudden she slips into something that's just between the two of them.
Yes, beautiful. But I think, you know, for all of us, we have a memory of our mothers, and the poem perhaps reinforces some time that we remember being children.
You know, recently I've had this conversation with a number of friends, all of us of a certain age, and our parents are aging, and we realize that there's a point where the role of parent switches.
Yes.
So
yes.
If we're lucky enough to have our parents into an elderly state, and they are sick for a little while, perhaps before they die, and of course my mom just recently passed away, there is that switch where she took care of me, and then I took care of her, although I was not a full-time caregiver, as many are. And that's kind of what this is about, too.
Yes, I think so. And that's why I love it so much, because it's not, we don't have any of the awful parts of what an illness or growing older might encompass. It's simply a nice mother-daughter moment of, I do this for you now. Mm-hmm. I remember when I did this for you in the past.
Exactly, exactly. All right. Let's go on to our next piece. This one is a little different, I would call it, and for lack of a better term at the moment. I'm going to let you read it, and then we're going to go back through it in kind of a different way. Elemental.
Yes, elemental. So what I would say to my students is go to your dictionaries and look up elemental, because everybody thinks they know what elemental is.
Uh-huh.
But elemental is a force of nature, something fundamental and primary. So this author, Beverly Boyd, comes to us from the west of the United States, California, on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And although this poem is somewhat perhaps about preparing for earthquakes, mm-hmm, I thought, given the season that we're in here in Syracuse, it's a perfect poem about the force of nature.
It is. Very good.
So here we go.
For us?
Elemental.
Okay.
Lights flicker as we lose power. At intervals, backup batteries bleep, while the house, earthquake-wise to subterranean pushing and shifting, trembles as atmospheric blasts bully doors and windows. With hands entwined, our backs warmed by fire, we watch through panes smeared by a spluttering squall, flailing trees a blur, hunched against the torrent. Unseen roots tighten their grip around compacted grains of sand, tiny anchors for faithful vessels riding out a storm.
So at first you think, oh my gosh, what does that have to do with healing or healthcare?
Right.
You look at it, and you know, we've all been through difficult storms, maybe not hurricanes, but blizzards certainly,
yes,
in Central New York State.
Yes.
And we know what storms are like, and there's fear.
Yes.
So when I reread it, I started thinking in terms of like the hospital emergency room.
Okay.
Or the intensive care unit.
Sure.
Where it always seems like a firestorm of activity that's going
nice.
On.
Nice, okay, yeah.
And so I would ask you to read it to us again, and I'd ask listeners to start thinking about emergency room experiences, or if they've ever been in an ICU watching a loved one, if they might hear it differently.
Okay, let's listen to that now. Lights flicker as we lose power. At intervals, backup batteries bleep while the house, earthquake-wise to subterranean pushing and shifting, trembles as atmospheric blasts bully doors and windows. With hands entwined, our backs warmed by fire, we watch through panes smeared by a spluttering squall, flailing trees a blur, hunched against the torrent. Unseen roots tighten their grip around compacted grains of sand, tiny anchors for faithful vessels riding out a storm.
So those grains of sand, those compacted grains of sand, how do you see them?
I saw this poem as a testament to the people that bring us through the storms of life, whether it is an illness narrative or simply an emotional.
Mm-hmm.
The speaker in this is sitting with someone as all around them something is happening. Elemental is shaking the very foundations of where they are. So if we went to your idea of the emergency room, mm-hmm, I mean, certainly things are happening in an emergency room, but if you're lucky enough, blessed enough to be there with someone who's holding your hand, what the poet reminds us of at the end is that you will ride out the storm.
You'll
whatever happens, you ride out with your person.
Absolutely. I think it also told me that in the midst of all that fear and all that frightening activity, we still want to trust.
Yes.
And good. We need somebody or something to cling to.
Yes, nice.
To trust. And we do that with our loved ones, whoever's sitting with us. We also do that with the professionals that can help us.
Exactly. I mean, the nurse who comes in, the respiratory therapist who takes an extra second with you, the physician, these are the people that help us ride out those elemental storms.
Absolutely, they do. Well, Dr. Nealon, this has been fascinating, and we even got more metaphorical than we usually do.
I liked it.
And I know a lot of our listeners enjoy it, too. At the end of today's show, we're going to make sure they know how, if they don't already have their copy of The Healing Muse, they can order one, too.
Thank you so much.
And Dr. Deirdre Nealon, thank you so much for coming by Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities, The Healing Muse. Great conversation.
My pleasure.
And listeners, we're going to take a quick break. Well, please stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.